John, Gospel of John. I want to talk about the emptiness of dead works. And there's a certain place in Scripture where it says, repentance from dead works. What's a dead work? Yeah, it's dead. I want to talk about that. The vanity of dead works. And why you shouldn't put those up. If you have one of those, don't tell Jesus about that one. A dead work. He doesn't like them. For some reason, he rejects them every time. He just doesn't like them. So I want to talk about that. Chapter 14 talks about he that has my commandment, verse 21. He that has my commandment, plural, and keeps them, plural, he it is that loves me. So Jesus likes you to keep his commandments. Those are not dead works. Obviously, those are living works. Keeping a commandment would be a living work. He that has my commandments and keeps them. You have it, and then you keep it. You have it, and then you keep it. And keep, you have it, and then keep it. Who has my commandments and then keeps them? Because the commandment might be tomorrow morning, wake up and praise the Lord. So I did it today, but you have it now, keep it. Yeah, do it tomorrow and the next day and so on and so forth. So to have a commandment, that would be a good thing. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I'll love him. And I'll make myself known to him. Wow. That would be great to have Jesus make himself known to you. That'd be powerful to make known to you. I wonder why that's important. Why on earth do we need to do that? Why on earth? It depends on where you put the inflection on that. Why on earth do we need to know him? Do we need to be intimate with him? Do we need to know what's going on? He's up in heaven. How can you be connected to him up in heaven? I drew the little arrow, he came down, but then he went back up. Now, how do you keep in contact with the guy? You write letters, make phone calls, emails, Tex-Mex. There's got to be a way you can reach him. There's got to be a way he can communicate with each one of us. He who has my commandment and keep them, apparently that's related to some kind of continuous union so that we live by every word that proceeds continually out of the mouth of God. That's the Greek. See, the Greek doesn't just say we live by every word. No, it says by every word that is, it's the present active indicative mood, which means I'm living by every word that is continually coming out of the mouth of God, not written down in the Bible one time. So apparently God's talking still working. Jesus said that. He said, my Father worketh and I worketh. And he's still working and I'm working. What's Jesus working? He's working what the Father's still working. Well, I thought he finished. Well, yeah, that's right. He finished the creation part of it, but now he's doing the redemption part of it, and now he's doing the sanctification part of it. Oh, well, I thought he finished. Well, he finished that one part, but now he's finishing the part that finishes that part. And then he's finishing the part that's finishing the part that's finishing the part. So he's still finishing that work that's finished. Isn't that funny? Well, because he finished one part of it. And then he worked on another part, and now he's working on another part. And most of us are still on the first part. And then there's a few people on the second part, and there's hardly anybody on the third part. So I thought I'd talk about that third part of finishing that which is finished, which was finished. So the natural creation is finished. 6 days took that. But you know there was something before the natural creation? Did you know that God created good work for you to walk in before the world began? Before the world began. I know when the world began, that was the 6 days that God finished, but apparently there was something that he finished before he finished that. Right? Good works that you should walk in them that he finished before the foundation of the world. So that's really interesting. Something finished before the finished work was finished in creation. And then the redemption, of course, remember Jesus said, is finished. But apparently what he was finishing was that which was already finished before even the natural creation was finished. Now, I know that's all very confusing, but it's not. If you get this down, get this confusion down till it's simple. It's not complex to me. That Jesus actually, before this world even began, everything was already finished. I mean, in heaven, when God says something, it's done. So just the fact that on earth, finishing takes time, in heaven, it doesn't take any time. To think a thing is to finish it. To say it is to say what you just thought, is to finish it and then do it. And it's all just, it's all like that. But on earth, it's all separated out so you can see the richness of it. Because it's for you. It's for you. It's not done for an angel. It's done for you. You're to be part of this. And that's what he finished before the foundation of the world when he laid Jesus down before the world was even made. He laid down the foundation before he laid down the world. The natural foundation and the spiritual foundation. Everything was laid down before in Jesus. All things, did you know this? All things adhere in here. You know, they're all somehow in him complete. Before, prior to anything was started. It was finished before it was started. The war was over before it began. That is a great way to live. To get married and it's already over with. You know what I mean? I mean, just to start something and it's already finished. It's perfect. I like God's finished works because then they're finished. There's like no like doubt about it. You see, if God says something, it's always perfect. It's already finished. It can't be added to or subtracted from or anything. It's perfect. Does that make sense? Powerful. Powerful. So, this is going to be real confusing unless I can get it to you so it's simple. So I draw a little line up there. That line is heaven and earth. Heaven is above the line. Earth is below the line. Now, when God made the world, he didn't start with earth. Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God created. Et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. Bereshit bara Elohim. Et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means they're his. They belong to him. Anything you create, it's yours. Anything you create, you make the law of it. Anything you create, you provide for it. Anything you create, you tell the purpose of it. And you appoint the people that finish it and do it and so on and so forth on earth. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So now they're his. Okay? But he also, before that, prior to that, he laid Jesus down and said, I'm going to build this heaven and earth around you. So Jesus is actually the cornerstone of heaven and earth. Everything in heaven and earth has to line up with, be righteous with God, Jesus. Because Jesus is the Son. So the Son has to line up with the Father. So all that was finished, and the good works that you do, it's nothing more than finishing up the works that Jesus did. But he did it in them. They're already did it. They're did. They're done. They're finished. But you get to walk in them and enter into his rest. So his finished work is the rest because it's finished already, and that's why it's easy to do it. Now, I know, humanly speaking, this is a little bit difficult for your mind, so I'm trying to renew your mind. I'm trying to get your mind to think like God thinks and stop thinking like you think. When you enter into rest, it actually means you enter into the finished work of Jesus. Otherwise, you'd be working, and then your works would be vain. Imagine building a house. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. So here I'm trying to build a house, but God's already built it. In God's mind, the house finished. In my mind, it's just beginning. But you see, in heaven, when God says something, it's done. But on earth, when he says something, we don't do it. Or it's a long time before we get around to it. But there's no time in heaven. There's no space. You're not going to go up there and have a mansion like, are you in the West Wing? You know, there's no space. You're thinking when you go to heaven, you're still thinking earth, time and space. I mean, if there's space and this space is over here on this side of the podium and over here is another kind, that takes time to go from here over to here because space and time are separated. It takes time for me to walk from this wall over to that walk. It's because of the human limitation. But God has no such limitations. He can be everywhere at once. Omnipresent. He can be everywhere at once. He can be up, down, sideways, underneath, inside. He can be everywhere. I mean, that's incredible. I can't do that. I don't know how he does that. I can't even imagine that. I'm trying to imagine it. You know, I just can't. It's not part of my experience, so it's hard for me to imagine it. I mean, once I get up there, it'll probably be piece of cake. I'll probably be able to fly a lot better than I can do down here. Sometimes in my dreams I do that. Do you ever do that? I haven't dreamt those dreams for a long time, but I used to when I was getting away from the bad guys. I just suddenly fly up over the building or something. You know, I was getting away because I was scared. Do you all have those kind of dreams? Well, those were a long time ago. But I like flying. I mean, I enjoy it very much. Sometimes you can really go up high. Did anybody here ever do that in your dream? Anybody? Crazy, just like me. That is crazy, isn't it? But sometimes you have to get away, right? You know, you're trying to run. You can't, so you just fly. Because otherwise they're going to get you. Whoever they is. I don't even know who they is. And then you try to cry out and your mouth is like, it won't work. Is that ever? So those are the kind of things you get. So God finishes stuff before it's finished. So the good works that you're to walk in were already finished before the foundation of the world. When the world was finished, that was already finished. Is that crazy or what? Can you get this? This is all scripture. You know, a lot of people read the scripture, but they're not really reading it because they don't want to see all the contradictions to it. Like, that doesn't sound right. How could something be finished before it started? I mean, I haven't even done the work, so how did it already get finished? Because in heaven, listen carefully, I'll give you another one. As in heaven, so on earth. But it doesn't say that in the Greek. You know what it says? It says, what is already having been done in heaven. Perfect. That is the perfect tense. Having already been done, then you do it. So I start something that's already having been done in heaven. In other words, whatever God says, it's already been done up there. But not down here. Down here, we're still starting it, in the middle of it, and finishing it off. Do you see? Down on earth, there's time and space. But up in heaven, there isn't any. Don't outsmart this. Just listen to what God is saying. That's the way he thinks. Don't think you're going to outthink this. You can't outthink this. You just accept it. It's just the way it is. In heaven, it's done. On earth, it's not done. So when Jesus came and he said on the cross, remember when he was on the cross, he said, it's finished. What was finished? What was finished? The redemptive work. So the Father didn't say that when he said it's finished. The Father said it's finished in 6 days. It's finished. What was finished? The natural creation. But now the Holy Spirit has never said it's finished because he's not finished. It's his time. It's your turn. So now the Father finished his in 6 days. Jesus finished his. It took him about 30 years to get that thing done, but he got it done. A little slower than the Father, but, you know, that's the way it is. I finished the work you gave me to do. You who finished the creation, I finished the redemption of that creation, because that creation is going to perish, but I finished it so that I could take out a holy people, so that when everyone else perishes, you won't. So Jesus finished the taking the holy people out of the other one that God the Father finished, and everybody has to die because he made a temporal world that only had a certain amount of time and space, and then when time and space is up, it's over, and everything is gone. But Jesus redeemed out Norman. I'm taking Norman with me. I'll take you. And he offered it to everybody. Anybody who wanted to get it could have it. So that Jesus finished. When he's on the cross, nobody else can die on the cross and make that happen. It's finished. I did it. So he's done. And the Father's done, and the Son is done, but the Holy Spirit's not done. You know why? It's working with us. There's the problem right there. I mean, that is a problem. You are unfinished. Has anyone looked in the mirror and noticed that? You're not finished. Somehow you're not done. You're not finished. The Holy Spirit is still working on you. He's chiseling away, you know, chopping off this and that, and trying to knock everything holy out of you. Pretty soon you'll just be a pea, you know. You still are too much full of yourself. So the Holy Spirit is not finished. In fact, until the trumpet sounds in the future, we'll all be finished then. Nobody's going to be finished. In fact, nobody that left ahead of time, they're not finished either. Nobody's finished. My mother died the other couple weeks ago. She's not finished. Jerry died. He's not finished. Nobody's finished. We're all going to finish together. Because the Holy Spirit kind of does that. He kind of arranges everybody, even the ones that are dead in the past and so on. Because working with us takes a longer time than it does to create the whole world. apparently when God just speaks it, you know, let there be light, and then there's light. Let there be pigs, there's pigs. Grasshoppers, you know, clouds. He just created it all with a word. All kinds of fish, and I don't even know if he detailed it. He just kind of fish. You know, there's all these kinds of fish. That's pretty cool. I mean, apparently what he's even thinking, because I don't remember reading in there that he said swordfish, you know, minnows. I don't remember he said that. I don't think he said that. It's not written down in my book. So I don't know. He just said fish. You know, it's like covered them all. But he kind of took a little special care when he came to Adam and Eve, right? Started out with Adam, right? Because the man's so important. Right? He has to get the man first. Why? Why? Why does he get the man first? Well, he's going to be the head. Man's a head. So he has to get the head first. Then next comes the woman. And the woman comes out of the man so that the man won't knock her down. You see? Because he recognized, oh, if I hurt her, I'll hurt myself. Because no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he cherishes and nourishes it. So the woman cometh out of the man. So that he can see, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. That's me. My wife is me. We're one. Did y'all see that? Remember Adam tried to date the various animals? He's looking for a mate. Remember that? The giraffe. He dated, you know, they went necking. You remember the hippopotamus? And then the butterfly, she's pretty. And you know, he tried, and he couldn't find a mate. You remember that? He had a dog, but he said, you know, good friend, but I don't think I'll marry you. And he just couldn't find a mate. The orangutan looked cute, but she could throw you. So, you know, he had to be careful with her. And so he was trying to name them all. And he got exhausted. He got so tired he couldn't do work. Couldn't do that work, you see. And so then God made him fall asleep, took a rib out of him, and he said, I'll make a woman. Ish is the Hebrew word for man. Isha is the Hebrew word for woman. Listen to it. Ish. That's man. Isha. Did you see that? Okay, I'll do it again. Ish. That's man. Ish. But Isha. Did you see the difference? You can tell the difference between a man and a woman. Okay, so the woman comes out of the man. And after that, every man came out of the woman. It's kind of a little different thing there. From then on, they had, you know, man and woman together, get some people coming out of that. But they all came out of the woman until Jesus. Jesus was born of woman. He came out of the woman. Born of Mary, remember that? Not man. Not man. Because now everybody in the church comes out of Jesus, the man. We're all born of Him, not her. There's no queen of heaven. Do you hear me? I'm saying a lot more than you're understanding that I'm saying, but I'm saying a lot. Jesus now is the male that produces everybody else. Just like Adam was the first male that produced the female out of which came. Now there's a second male. And that's why Jesus had to be born of woman out of Mary, out of Eve, so on. But now he produced a new race, a holy people, the same work that was started at the beginning when he finished it before the foundation of the world. So you see, something was finished before it was even begun. that something else that was begun was the natural creation, then the redemption, and now the sanctification. But the sanctification is now that you walk in the same walks that were produced in the beginning, before the beginning of the world. Bereshit bara Elohim, that's the beginning of the natural world. That's that word on the back. Bereshit, in the beginning. But that beginning is just the natural beginning, but there was a beginning before that beginning. Those were the works that he created before the world began, that you should walk in them. So first he created the works that you're going to walk in, then he created the world, and then he created the person that's going to do the walking. Then he had to redeem it and all that kind of stuff, and now he's sanctifying us so we can walk in that which was done before the foundation of the world. Now you see how time is a funny thing? People have written books on time, but it's hard to understand time and space. We think we're masters at it, but actually we know nothing. So I'm teaching you how the Bible talks, and this is just the normal way the Bible talks. As in heaven, so on earth. Thy will be done in heaven, so on earth. So everything that's done in heaven has to be done on earth, otherwise it'll perish. Whatever you do on earth that wasn't first done already before the foundation of the world in heaven is not going to last. It's vain. It's empty. It's worthless. So the whole thing is always asking God, God, what about this right here? What if I do this? Is this already been done? Did you already do this work so I could enter into your rest? So we have to learn to think differently. You know, you don't just do things and say, I just did something. No, you didn't. We have to check out to see if it was already done. If you did a work that was already done, then it was wrought in God. To see that their deeds were wrought in God. Because apart from me, what? You can do nothing. Not one thing. Now that's a devastating statement. So there must be something before the foundation of the world that said you have to do everything in Him. Because I can do all things through Him, in Him, by Him, in relationship to Him, born out of Him, coming out of the male. Only a work that's been wrought in God, which is in His Son Jesus, is a work that would be of any value. Let's say you get married. You better marry in Him. Then just marrying your own time and your own way and your own manner, you check it out. God, when did you have this marriage take place? Well, before the foundation. Yeah, I know, but what day on earth? I'm trying to get the earth day. You know, when am I going to walk in that one? Well, that's at least when you're, you know, old enough. When is that? Well, when you're dead to yourself and you're alive to God. That's when that is. Oh, I see. Because a husband has to be dead to himself because he has to care for the woman. That would be a new kind of person. Not the kind of normal, common person we've been used to. I mean, when I got married, I was just common, normal kind of person. I was thinking I'm the head and she's going to be my helpmate. Whatever I say goes. That's the way I thought of it. Little did I know, it didn't work that way. I said a whole bunch of things. Charge! And I look back and she's still standing there. It's like, I'm the only one charging. This family will, you know, and it didn't make any difference. I learned after a while that I was in charge of nothing. And, you know, and she's shorter than I am. And she said she loved me. I don't know. I had to learn. I had to find out. Now, in heaven, how is it? Is she obedient in heaven? You know, because she's not looking like it down here. And God, I don't know, God was not interested really so much in my view of things. He really wanted to know if I was going to be right. I said, no, I'm doing my part. I said charge. I said, you know, get up at 6, cook breakfast. Yeah, I said all that. She just didn't do it. She's got the problem. I said, well, let's start with you. No, let's start with her. That's my decision. You see, but you have to check with heaven to see where the decision starts. I don't get to do my own thing. I have to be dead to myself and will what He wills, say what He says, feel what He feels, do what He does. Then He'll say, well done. So apart from me, nothing. in me, through me, by me, all things. Could be a contradiction until you think about it. What you're really doing then is entering into something that's already been done. You're not doing anything de novo for the first time. You're only doing that which is already done. Now, that's not very creative. It's already been done. I was going to do my part. I was going to put a little flair to it. You know, a little bit of me, because I thought that would help. You know, God had a kind of a general idea, and I was putting the specifics in it. You know, a little bit of, just shows me doing it. But he didn't want that. He didn't want me to be anything other than what he wanted me to be. It's kind of like, well, then where do I come in? You see, I don't want to just do what's been done. I wanted to do something a little unique and different. And God didn't want that. You have to become an ordinary person, not extraordinary. You have to just do what you're told. You have to follow the script. And to do that, you have to know how to hear God today, right now, presently, every moment of every second of every day, because we live by every word that's continually proceeding out of the mouth of God. Not that it was just written down in the book, because if you read it down in the book, you don't know if it's Genesis or Revelation. You don't know if it's Matthew or Mark. You don't know which word. God, what's your word? Read my book. No, it doesn't help, because I don't know which word, and I don't know how to interpret what I read anyway. And then I wouldn't know how to apply what I interpreted, which I read. So I still don't know. I mean, like, God, speak to me, like, really? How many know that most people have trouble hearing God? They have trouble hearing God. God, I can't hear you. You know, so you yell at him. God, I don't think you're hearing me. But, you know, he speaks, but he speaks when you're dead. I mean, that's what he's probably telling you. Die? You just didn't hear that part. You know, you got too much sin in your life. The real reason you can't hear him is because you always hear him. My sheep hear my voice. Well, apparently we always hear him if you're his sheep. Maybe you're not. there's a thought. I don't know. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that's a thought. Is maybe you're not one of his sheep because you can't hear his voice. Because if you were one of his sheep, you do hear his voice. But maybe you're one of his sheep hearing his voice, but you're hearing 10 other voices too. Maybe you're tuned to too many stations at once. You know, and you just can't hear. But if you could tune out all those other stations, you could hear God. So it isn't that you don't hear, it's that you can't hear what you're hearing. Because you're hearing other things that you're not supposed to be hearing. That's right. If that deed has already been done and you're going to walk in the works that were already prepared before the foundation of the world, then many of the things that we're doing are worthless. They're in vain. They don't count. They were wrought by me. I did them. I decided them. I thought them. I felt them. That's just me. I'm just expressing myself. Who cares what you think? Who cares what you feel? Who cares what you want? Who cares? Who cares? Me? Yeah, but you don't count. Because God is the only one that counts. I wanted to count. Well, he doesn't want you to count. Because your works are in vain. All your works are worthless. All your works tend to hell. They all destroy. No, I did nice there. Even the person said so. Still goes to hell. If you're going to do the works of God, you have to find out what he already did before the foundation of the world that you're supposed to walk in. And everybody here then has to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and you have to know him from the heart. But the Jewish people, it's told, are blinded. They see but don't see. They hear but can't hear because their eyes and their ears are stopped and their heart is fat. They're full of themselves. They got fat all over themselves. That's the Jewish people. Thank God we're not Jewish. Thank God. You know, because those people are stiff-necked and stubborn. Thank God we're not like that. Amen? Praise God. It's not us. We're Christians. Although there could be some similarities. Could be some similarities. So what God wants you to learn is a lot, you're not spending enough time with God to find out. You got to TV yourself in to find out what's he doing up there. Remember Jesus said these words? I never, never do anything except what I see the Father doing, what I presently am looking at the Father doing. Well, how could he do that. He didn't have a television set. How did he know? How did he know? How could he see into heaven? The key there is being born out of that man. See, he was one with God. He was of God. He and God are one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, there's a kind of a spiritual communion, fellowship, unity there where they're all together. Whatever the Father wants, the Son wants. Remember one time he said, Son, I want you to be crucified now. He said, I don't want that. I like these people down. I'm going to stay. Son, it's not your will. It's mine. Yeah, you're right, Father. I want to do what you want. So Jesus gave up his personal will. That's all he's looking for in you. It's all he wants. He doesn't want anything more than your death. You just die to yourself. Just, Jim, what you want doesn't count. Do what he wants. What you feel doesn't matter. Feel what he feels. What you think doesn't matter. Take every thought captive. Don't matter. Don't. I don't want to hear what you have to think. I don't want to hear. Don't. Did you ever see that with little kids? Yeah. What I think. We don't want to hear what you think. Ah! You know, little kids, they hate that. Well, it's not right. And they'll complain about that. Have you ever noticed that? Little kids will complain. You go to bed right now. No. You'll go to bed right now. I'll spank you. It's not fair. Why does she get to stay up? She's 18. You're 3. And I mean, it isn't. You don't have to explain to a little child. You just take your belt off. Okay, all right. So that's the way little kids are, because they have a will. Everybody has a will. Everybody has a will of their own. The hardest thing to give up is your will. You can just give up your will. God, not what I want, but what you want. What is it you want? Whatever you want, that's what I want. Remember Jesus said that? I came to do the will of my Father. Whatever he says, I says. Whatever he does, I does. I just need to be tuned in every minute of every second of every day. That's what it means to take up your cross and follow him. Take up your cross, it means X yourself out. Cross yourself out. Stop thinking you're a person. Oh, somebody. What? What are you? A mess up. That's all. You need to do what he already did. He already created works for you to walk in, and he is not going to vary that little program. Hey, God, could you change that a little bit? No, he's not changing it. That program goes exactly according to his Ten Commandments, exactly according to his laws, exactly according to the law of liberty. So, you know, well, is it okay right now if I tell this lie? It's got a white one. No, it's not in the program. Well, I was just going to add a little bit. I think it'll help out your program, actually. I think if I tell a little lie in this case, I think it'd be good. No, he doesn't want to hear it. He's stubborn. You talk about stubborn. God is stubborn. He will not ever admit that anything he hasn't done isn't perfect. He thinks everything he does is perfect. And he's the guy deciding. he won't allow me to put my little 2 cents in. God, let's take a vote on this. Just you and me. He won't do it. He won't do it. He'll just blow you away. You know, he'll just blow you away because he doesn't want to hear what you have to say. There's 3 of us, God. 3 against 1. He doesn't care. He just blow you all away. You see, God is already, the world is finished, Clay. You're not doing anything down here that hasn't already been done. And whatever you did that wasn't already done, it doesn't even exist. It never did. It's gone. That's the judgment, that you go with it, unless you do the works that are real, finished, alive. Forget all the bad works you did. How many did a few bad works? I don't know. You all did. Forget those. Forget those bad thoughts, bad works, all that stuff. That's just rubbish. It's gone. The minute you did it, it wasn't done. God's not even going to count it. He only counts the things that you did in him. And you'll be judged according to the works. And you know what he's going to say? To a lot of people, depart from me, you evildoers. What did I do? You didn't do what I told you to do. What? I didn't hear anything. See, but that was what you were supposed to do, is hear him. Remember, that was one of the things he said, hear me. Remember, God once said, this is my son, hear him. Remember that when he was baptized? Remember, he said, hear him. This is the one I was telling you to hear, not Moses. Well, you can hear Moses, but here's what Moses says, hear him. So all that Moses is saying, here's what God says, hear him. So there was another guy. That was Jesus. So Moses wrote of me, Jesus said. And he wrote of me. If you'd believe Moses, you would believe me. Because Moses said, believe me. Here I am. I'm me. I'm the me that he was talking about. Me, that's me. So they killed him. No, you got it wrong. You weren't supposed to kill me. But actually, you did it right. That's actually what you were supposed to do, is kill me. You see, God actually knew that, because that was what Jesus did before the foundation of the world. He laid himself down then to be killed. And so when Jesus came down, he didn't go like, oh, I didn't know I was going to be killed. Of course he did. He read the script. Death. I came to die. That's why he came. And he lived it. Every minute that he was alive, he was dead. Because he always did what was pleasing to the Father. That's death. Physical death is nothing compared to psychological death. He wants you to be a living sacrifice, not a dead one. What good does it do if you're in the dust? Can the dust praise the Lord? So God wants you to be alive unto him, which means you have to have a daily, constant, continual love affair with him. Are you in love? See, Jerry was. Jerry, I love Jerry because he is totally in love. He's totally in love with Jesus. Simple. Are you like that? I am. I'm in love, you know. And when you're in love, you don't think, you don't feel, you don't do anything. You're just in love. You don't think about anything. Lovers don't see anything, know anything except the will of the Father. You just want to please your beloved. That's all. Period. So when you're in love, you don't have to even talk. Lovers actually know when you're in love. If you don't trust each other, I don't care what you say. Well, I don't agree with that. You know, you'll disagree with anything. If you don't love the other person, you're not going to listen. And it's just, well, you're not making any sense at all. Well, you're not either. You know, that's the way people talk. But when you're in love, they don't have to say anything. Well, how'd you know that's what I wanted? Because lovers just know that. I mean, I remember when we were dating, Peggy'd walk by and she'd see something in the window, you know, and she'd just say it real quietly. Well, that's pretty right there. Bing! You know, I see it go right into my head. So as soon as I ditched her, I went in and, you know, I got it. See, and then surprised her. Oh, how did you know? See, because lovers pay attention to every little breath, everything. Remember John laid close to the breast of Jesus? He could hear him sighing, breathing. He's listening. How much time do you spend with the living God? Not just reading the Bible, but, you know, just spend time, unhurried time, wasted time, just waste time with God rather than in front of the mirror. You know, and you spend a lot of time on waste rather than looking at Jesus. Why look at yourself? You need to look into this mirror, the perfect mirror, the one where you can see. Do you look like Jesus, not do you look like you? Yeah, this is me at my best. Man, I look scrubby, but now I'm looking pretty good. No, that's not the me you need to be looking at, because man at his best state's altogether vanity. Man at his best state. I mean, when man does his best work, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing in the eyes of God. And he's the one that decides. So you see, before the foundation of the world, up in heaven, God already established he did a work. So I'm gonna write up there, done, deed done. All the deeds that God ever did on the face of the earth were already done before he even started the world. So everything's done upstairs. It's done. Now, what is he going to say when it's all over? So every deed is already done, and then we have to see and hear what's done so that when we do it, he'll come back and say, well done. You did well. Not well believed, not well wanted, well done. You did it. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So you can't do it from apart from him. You can only do it in him, because that's the only way you can hear God. It's the only way you can know God. You have to be born of God. You have to be born again. You have to be born of God. You can't say, well, I'll watch Christians and I'll copy them. Imitatio Christi, the most famous book in the Middle Ages, worthless. To imitate Christ? You think so? Well, I'm just going to do what Jesus would do. How do you know what Jesus would do? Would you take a whip and beat people out of a temple? You don't know what Jesus would do. Are you dying for mankind? What would Jesus do? Some kids even wear the little band. I want to do what Jesus would do. Well, what would he do? Well, he'd be nice. Oh, yeah? How do you know? Was it nice when he whipped those people out? How do you know what nice is? You know nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't just play religion. You have to truly be born again, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, completely dead to yourself. The problem is that Christians aren't dead. That's why they can't hear. They don't want to be dead. It isn't that they're not dead, it's they don't want to be dead. Isn't that funny? People are trying to preserve their life. But if you keep your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel's, you find it. So what he's wanting us to do is spend unhurried time with him on a daily, wasteful basis. Well, I don't have time. Yeah, that's all you have time for, is eternity. You don't have time for time. You have time for eternity. You're supposed to be filling every moment of time with eternity. What is heaven, not would it do, what is heaven doing right now? What's heaven saying? Is heaven saying what I'm saying? Am I saying what heaven is saying? No. But roughly. So you have to kind of hear the part that's Jim and knock that off and save the part that's Jesus. How do you know? You got a spirit. Your spirit knows. Your spirit knows even before you hear me talk. Your spirit knows while I'm talking. Your spirit knows. Not your head. Your head might be arguing. Your head knows nothing. Your head, your thoughts, they have to be taken captive to the Word of God. So I'm speaking the truth out of the Word of God, having studied the Word of God, but I ask the Holy Spirit, not written in the Word of God, what should I teach? What should I say? What should I do? And he told me exactly, say these words in this manner, speak like this. So I'm doing it. I don't care how it comes out. I don't care who likes it. I don't care who dislikes it. That's the way it is. That's the way it is in heaven. So here's what he said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So I wrote that down. Then I wrote this next one down, because this is the way he gave it to me. In me, though, through me, not apart from me, but with me, you can do all things. Well, so I can do nothing apart from him. I can do everything with him. Obviously, the him is the key. The relationship with him, not the doing. The doing is not the key. Because apart from him, apart from the relationship, I can't perform. Performance is nothing. Relationship is everything. Union with him, the branch in the vine, that's the key, not the fruit coming off the branch. We're all interested in the fruit, the performance, how good we look. He's interested in the union, how much you know. So what you produce is worthless because you're looking outward, he's looking inward. You got to be tied in with heaven. You got to know what he's doing every second of every minute of every day. That's the problem today in our churches. I'm not indicting. They are indicted. I'm not indicting. I'm just simply saying that's what it says in the book. That's what it says in the Bible. But I'm not just telling you what it says. I'm telling you what God is saying right now is my people do not fear me, nor do they care about what heaven has already done. They disregard the done before the foundation of the world. Therefore, they cannot do the done now. And I will not be able to say to them, well done. Take it in. It's not easy because it's normally not preached. It's only because it's unfamiliar to you, but it's in the book. It's in the book. It's been there in all the pages all along. You cannot do your own work. The Jews are trying to establish their own righteousness. He won't take it. There's only one righteousness, Christ. You can't add to that. You can't add your own. Well, we have a Lutheran kind of righteousness. He doesn't want Lutheran righteousness. Well, we have a Baptist kind of righteousness, Catholic, Jewish, whatever. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want your version. He wants exactly what he wants. Has to be perfect. I'm not into perfect. I'm into kind of sloppy, more or less, kind of aim at the thing roughly. Well, I at least shot it in the right direction, didn't I? You know, he's not into that. It has to be perfect. She has to be a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, Holly, I don't know what kind of bride you're going to be, but I hope you don't put your dress in the mud before you get married. You shouldn't have any spots or any wrinkles. You should look, you know, perfect. And people should go like this. Ah. She looks good. You should have seen her an hour ago. She looks good now. She looks good. She looks good. Do y'all understand? The Lord is looking for a bride, and he's not talking about clothing. He's talking about your inner life, your good works. The dress that we're wearing is the good works of the saints. But who does good works? They have to be wrought in God. They have to be from heaven. They have to be present works, not one that worked back in Luther's day. They have to be one that works today, right now, with my wife here, time, space. A living work was already done in heaven, but I've got to do it today, whatever the script is for this day. Every day has its own script. Of course, every day people are saved. Every day people are sanctified. Every day people are glorifying God and so on. But every day has its own script, and I have to hear exactly what God is saying today at this time with this people in this moment to myself, to them, to God, to everything. That means I have to give up my life. You know, it would take a lifetime. I wouldn't even have a life of my own if I just was always doing his will. When do I get to do my stuff? How many have dreams of your own? Hey, God, you know, I don't mind giving you an hour. But I don't like the idea that, you know, you want all the time. You're a hog or something. You know, I mean, you're asking too much. You know, lower it a little bit. No, he won't do it. He's just not negotiable. You can't negotiate with him. It's all or nothing. Either Jesus is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. He wants to be Lord of all. He wants to Lord everything of every moment. Here's one of the things that he just stuck on this idea. Rejoice always. Well, I want to rejoice right now. I command you to. I don't want to. I'll have to whip you. You know, and so we throw tantrums. We rebel against God's rejoicing always. Well, here's the situation. You can't. I'm not going to. Well, you don't get a choice. Yeah, but look how bad this is. I see everything. I know everything. I allow everything. I want you to rejoice always. And we're just like little kids. You ever see little kids throw a tantrum? You ever see that? They turn purple even. I like little kids. They're so much like adults. You ever notice that? They're just a chip off the old block. Of course, we don't look like that. We look like, because we're liars and phonies. The little kids are not. They're not. They're just like themselves. So, you stop that right now. See, we break that out of them. But actually, they don't ever change. They just change the way that they operate. Just become hypocrites instead of straightforward. Did you know that? Because all you're after is behavioral modification. You're just modifying the behavior. You might feel that way, but don't say it. You know, I don't care what you're thinking. Keep it to yourself. So you're not going to actually change them. Only God can change a person. Beholding him upstairs, we are changed. Beholding him in his word, beholding him in the spirit, beholding him, we're changed. Now, a pagan isn't changed by beholding Jesus. A pagan isn't changed. You can only be changed if you're of him. People that are not of him can't be sanctified. They can't glorify him with good works. They don't do any good works. All their works are evil. Remember God said in the Bible, all the works that man has ever done, no, not one. Well, that's kind of severe. I was thinking one. I was thinking a couple of my things. I know a lot of my things weren't good, but I would save a couple of them. How many know that we've done few good things? Not a lot. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I've done a few good things. God says, no, I don't like any of your works. I don't want one work of yours. It's got your fingerprint in it. I don't want it. It smells of you. It stinks. God, come on, be a little. Remember, we're dust. You know, remember the frame. You made us. You're going to accuse God? God made you and he gave a law. I don't want anything from you. I want you to do everything I tell you to do. I want you to do my will and nothing else. How many are excited about that? I mean, that's death. That is really death to you, but you know what? It's not. It's actually death is actually life. Because when you give up your life, that's when you find it. When you as a husband love your wife as Christ loved the church, you actually love yourself. When you give up, you actually find. When you try to keep, you actually lose. It's all upside down and backwards. God's got heaven on top or under. Where is it? Is it the foundation? Or is it the ceiling? Where is it? Where is heaven? Everything on earth has to be turned upside down. Because you're not in charge. He's God. You're not. He can. I can't. I can't. He can. Now, the minute you get a hold of that, you begin to realize that the good works that everybody's always talking about. Well, I think that was good. Well, we don't care what you think. Well, you know, you don't know. You weren't married to him. See, I don't care. I don't care what he's like. I don't care what she's like. I don't care what they're like. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference. God's already spoken. Well, I think you could call it adultery, but I just call it, you know, we loved each other. I don't care what you call it. God calls it wicked, sinful, and you're a liar. Wouldn't you love to have me as your pastor? I mean, that would be great, you know, because I like speaking straight. Just say it like it is. Why? This is the truth. Only the truth is going to set you free. It doesn't do any good to monkey around and play games with people. How many know that people are manipulable? You can manipulate people, trick them, to the extent that they want to be tricked. Because in the end, they're not convinced. In the end, you've just tricked them because they were tricking you into tricking them so they could trick you. You can put a little kid in front of a psychiatrist, and that psychiatrist will learn, you know, what that little kid is like. But before it's all over, the little kid will be controlling the psychiatrist. Because he learns what the psychiatrist is after. Uh-huh. You know, and so the little kid will say that. Did they abuse you? And like, oh, yeah. And so that psychiatrist believes, you know, he got the truth out of him. But actually, the little kid just gave him whatever he thought he wanted so he could get whatever he wanted. Now can I have the chocolate? And so you're not fooling anybody. You don't ever trick anybody. You just think you're tricking. There was once this woman who was kind of a loose, and she'd slept with 40 different people or whatever, lesbians, the whole bit. And I said to her one day, because she was a church member, I said, do you know that what you're doing is evil? She thought about it. And before she said anything, I said, okay, I'll ask you another question. Are you aware how naive you appear? But are you really naive, or are you actually very clever? Smile came on her face. She said, I know exactly what I'm doing. So that's interesting. In other words, she wasn't a victim of circumstances. She was actually a culprit. I love that. She told me the truth. And this is what happened. I told her, all right, from now on, no more men, no more women. You're going to be completely clean. Stop it right now. And then in a few months, you're going to marry this man that you're now sleeping with and living with, and we're going to get a nice Christian marriage. So break up right now. Do we have to break up? We're saving money. You're breaking up. Okay. Today, that marriage is still powerful. So what? She'd done all that stuff. But she came clean, and she admitted, I'm devious to the hilt. I did it for my own purposes and reasons. She had no need to do it. She just did it. And it looked to the whole world like she was naive and stupid. How could you do that? That is awful. That is stupid. What'd you get from it? It had nothing to do with that. People, they need to find out what it is that God's already done. That's your destiny right there. You have a destiny right now, and it has nothing to do with what you think, what you feel, what you want. Who cares what you think, feel, and want? Who cares? You're going to do what God said, or it's not going to last. You can't defy him. You cannot mock God. What he said, and that's it. What he wrote, and that's it. Hey, God, could you change on that Ten Commandment thing? I want to change just one of the commandments. I'll leave the other nine. But I was just thinking a little twist on it. You don't want to hear it. Dostoevsky, the great Russian novelist, wrote book after book after book about how the Ten Commandments cannot be taken literally. So you think he was a great author? He was a witch. You think he was clever? What he was trying to show is that Sonia, the prostitute, was the Christ figure, and then the guy that was supposed to be the priest was actually the fool. It's just to simply say, aha, you see, it ain't necessarily so. the things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. Dostoevsky was a witch, a liar. So is that literature? No, that's Satanism. But he's a great novelist. And he is, he's brilliant. But he goes straight to hell. You're playing with God's sacred word. And he doesn't alter it. Doesn't change it. You see, all the music and the literature and the art and all those things that we count as worthwhile, they're rubbish in the eyes of God because they have to pass his test. God wants you to know, was it done in heaven? Did I already do it before the foundation of the world? Well, how would we know? How would we know? Well, get in touch with me, the author. Well, I mean, we weren't there. Could you give a clue? You just have to fall in love with him. You have to be born again. Well, that's not fair. I was hoping I could just get a postcard on it or something. No. You have to actually know the living God. You have to come in contact with him. Because what's for your life today is not written down in the Bible. You cannot find a Bible verse that has your name on it that says on Thursday the 17th, you know, or whatever, today's Sunday night. You know, there is no such thing. You have to actually know the Holy Spirit be led by the power and the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God who are led by God. You can't be led by this whole book. You don't even know which book to read. Is this Abraham or David? Is it Moses? Is it young Moses or old Moses or middle-aged Moses? You don't know. How do you know? Well, I just kind of think so. I know it's worthless. You have to know by the Holy Spirit. It has to be revealed from heaven right now. Well, that'll take a death on your part because most of you are living, you're busy living your own lives and you don't have time for God to barge in. God, will you stop bugging me? I'm trying to live my own life here. You're supposed to be helping. And he wants to, you know, he wants to command you all the time. I'm getting tired of it. God, you think you'll bug off. You know, God, just bug off. I'm trying to do my own thing right here. I mean, you know that we do that all the time. We just make our own decisions. Well, he doesn't want that. He's not going to change his mind on that. Well, okay. I'll yield on that. No, God never yields. He's stubborn. He doesn't negotiate. Now, God, here's the deal. Here, let's make a deal with you. He doesn't make deals. He's perfect. You're imperfect. Imperfect can't tell perfect what to do. So he's not going to change his mind on adultery. You know, I raised my children. I didn't raise them to say, now look, you just do anything you want to do. Because I love you and no problem. No, I didn't raise them. I raised them, you do everything God says. And until you get to know God better, do everything I says. It's kind of simple. There's only one sin in this family. You got to do what I say or else. That's it. And so that made it easy for the kids. And of course, they rebelled. Of course. Because I was a tyrant, a hard taskmaster. Even the other kids told them that. Gee, your dad's awful. Woo! So, you know, I don't care. Because while my kids were busy not eating candy, the other kids were, you know, deciding whether to sleep around and smoke dope and whatever and so on and so forth. My kids never got around it. They were just excited they could eat candy at 17. We ate candy. I thought that was clever. Because you know where I learned that? In the Bible. I learned how God did that. I don't think it's good for them to sin. I don't care that they sin. I'll forgive any sin. I just didn't want them to hurt themselves. It's because I loved them. And they saw it. And they came back later and said, thank you, Dad. I'm glad you and Mom were on our case. You were? Well, you didn't look like it. Well, we weren't at the time, but now I realize that's great, you see. They'll come back and thank you. Do you realize young people actually want to please their parents? Somebody says, I don't know, my kids are just all rebellious and all the other kids in the neighborhood. That's baloney. I don't care what any of the other kids in the neighborhood do. You're going to do what's right. I have to do what God says, and you have to do what I says. So there it is. You know, otherwise, God will whip me. I told them that. And the little kids are kind of stunned, like, oh, they never thought of that. I don't want to spank you, but I got to. Otherwise, you'll spank me if I don't spank you, so I'm going to do it to you. You don't understand. Those kids love that. They like that. They didn't resent that. My kids never resented it. They understood that I loved them. And, you know, a whole bunch of times, at least a fourth of the time, I always said, now I'll give you a choice. Spanking or mercy? Mercy. They just, every time they picked it. Of course, I didn't offer it every time. Sometimes there was just spanking. But sometimes it was whenever I offered it, they knew, I'll take the mercy. The mercy was I would hit the bed so that mother thought I was spanking them. And then they had to cry. Don't tell your mom that I showed mercy. It's okay, I told her. What it is kids need to learn, there is the law, but then there's mercy. But then there's power. You see, the law tells me what to do, which I don't. The mercy tells me that he'll forgive me, but the power tells me that he'll help me to do what I didn't do and which I had to be forgiven for, but now I can do because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Apart from him, I could do nothing. That's the law. But through the gospel, I can do all things. Under the law, I can do nothing. Under the gospel, I can do everything. That's interesting. So what is the gospel but listening to him, believing in him, being born of him, being filled with him, being anointed with the Holy Spirit? Ah, that's a whole new way of life. So it isn't just raising your children so they behave on the outside. You have to raise them so they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through both the law and the gospel, through both forgiveness and mercy through the blood, but also through the power of the Holy Spirit who's on your side. Even when you do wrong, I'm still on your side. I'm still your best shot. You know, I'm your parent. I'll do anything for you. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've said. I don't care how you think of me. I don't care. I love you. That's power. That's something that can communicate to this generation that's wild. It's only wild because the parents are rebellious. It's not the kids that are rebellious. It's the parent. The parents are rebellious. They went away from God. A lot of the works that are done in the church are worthless. A lot of the works we do in this church, they're worthless. They're of no value. A lot of the words that we say, a lot of the works that we do, they're of no value. They're vain. Now, that's not for condemnation. That's just telling you they're worthless. They don't count. You're just fooling yourself. You're just pretending. God will not accept them. He only accepts what's acceptable. And it has to be perfect. God, it's too hard. No, it isn't. It's impossible. It's not hard. It's impossible. It's not hard. It's impossible. But you have to be born again and then filled with the Spirit. And the only way you can learn is through chastening. You have to learn the hard way. Everything you learn is the hard way because it goes against your flesh. That's why it's hard. It doesn't feel good to be spanked on the bottom, but that's good for you. It doesn't feel good that the parent that loves you is now exhorting you, you know, yelling at you. No! That's a good, loving parent. Doesn't look like one. Who cares what it looks like? That's what God says to us. Do not eat of that tree. Did you eat of that tree which I told you not to eat? Now, he loves them that he's speaking to, and he's going to die for them. They're not going to die. He's going to die. He's going to send his son to die for them. He just wants them to know there's a price to pay. I'll pay it. They were thinking, he's going to kill us now. He's not going to kill you. God doesn't want to kill you. He wants you to die voluntarily to yourself so that you may live. You die so that you may live. Now, how many are excited about that message that God is trying to teach you that your work should be full, and someday God will say, well done. You did well. Clay, this is you. You're going to do well. And he's going to say, well done. Because you didn't do it. He did it. You didn't do it. It's already been done. It's not very interesting. It's what he's already done. He already wrote that script down. He's got your script all written, Harry. Marianne, he already knows what you're supposed to say and do every minute of every second of every day. So you got to spend some time with him to, God, what do I say this? Or, you know, and you can hear the Holy Spirit. You can have a conscience, but you have more than a conscience. You also have the Word of God. But you have more than the Word of God and more than the conscience. You have also the Holy Spirit that helps you to understand the Word of God and that conscience so that you're able to be led of the Spirit. Now, you don't have to be perfect to be perfect. Because he'll finish the work he began in you. Because that's one of the things he finished, is that he finished your work too. Your work is already finished that he finished before it even started. I like that. That reminds me of the little kid that, you know, the parent tells him, go make your bed. And then you go in and you see the blanket kind of tossed toward the bed. Said, did you make your bed? Yes, Mom. Well, let's go look. Okay. So you go in there and he said, you call this making the bed? Yes. It was over there on the floor. Now it's over there. That's not making the bed. Is that a hospital corner blanket fold? I don't know what those are, Mom. Well, I'll show you. And when you watch me now, I'm going to show you. And then you do it just like I do it. And then the mother does it. The little kid looks at it. I can't do that. I can't do that. That's all right. We'll do it again. Here, take it off. Do it again. I still can't do it, Mom. You know, and that little kid wants help. That's how you train them. It's all right, sweetheart. I'll give you an hour. And the little kid's there, trucking it. Mom, I just couldn't do it. That's okay. The parent doesn't mind that. Do y'all understand? It takes time. You got to be patient with little children. Work with them. That's already been done before the foundation of the world. God knows it's going to take time for you to do it. He's not mad at you. He just wants to teach you how to do it. First, he's going to forgive you for not doing it right. Second, he's going to help you to do it right. And third of all, you're going to get all the glory from it. He gets the glory, but he gives it to you. And when the dad comes in, the little kid runs up, Dad, Dad, come on back here. What? See that bed? I did that. He didn't even do it. The mom did it, but he took the credit. I did that. You did that? I did. Didn't I, Mom? Yes. And, the mom was tucking the thing in and showing him how to do it. Yeah, that's the way good moms are. You all understand that? So first we tell you what to do, and then you didn't do it. And then we forgive you for not doing it, and then we help you to do it. That's God. That's the work that was done before the foundation of the world. Therefore, there is no work. Therefore, you enter into his rest, because it's already done. It's already done. There isn't anything for you to do. It's already been done. Just enter into his rest. In other words, just come into a relationship with Jesus. That's all. Just fall in love with Jesus. How could you say you're in love with Jesus when you're doing your own thing all the time? Just fall in love with Jesus. Jesus, I'm doing my own thing. Forgive me. I'm sorry, Mom. And Jesus will forgive you. Amen? Now, Isaac, you try real hard to do the right thing, don't you? Yeah. But you don't always do it. No. But your mom and dad forgive you, don't they? Yeah. And then they help you. Not really? You're just kidding. Okay. you have kind of your own way of going about this. Kind of your own way. But you knew the right answer. They do help you, don't they? I know my wife helps you. Yeah? She's pretty good, isn't she? Is she patient with you or does she whip you? No, she's not patient. She doesn't whip you. It's good. She says you're a good learner. I don't know. I'm just taking her word for it. You think you'll grow up to be like Jesus? Not exactly. You're kind of getting closer to it. God's good, isn't he? God is good. Let's praise God. Father God, we thank you for this word tonight, that apart from you, we can do nothing. But in you and through you and by you and with you, we can do all things. There's nothing we can't do. We can do anything. We can, even on this earth, begin to do that which needs to be done. And after you died and you finished the work of redemption, you're still not done. Those are the works you began to do, and now we're finishing what you finished. We're actually entering into the work that you did as Savior. And so, the Holy Spirit, he's at work us to will and to do. Because we didn't want to, but now we do. And we didn't do it, but now we are. So, you Holy Spirit, you're helping us to finish because you're the finisher. Jesus started it, we're finishing it. Everything he started, he did. And now we're finishing his works that were done before the foundation of the world in us, through us. And God be glorified. I thank you, Lord God, that the world will someday give glory to the Father for the works that we have done in you, wrought in God. And the world will know, and the ruler of this world will be judged. Because he said we couldn't do it. He was thinking apart from Christ. But we found out the secret in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I thank you, Lord God, for the teaching. I pray that it changed people's lives. I pray that this word went forth not void, but went forth to water the earth, to bring forth fruit, fruit that would abide, that would endure, that would be multiple, that would be glorious, so that your name would indeed be great upon the earth and forevermore. In Jesus' holy name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Any questions? Perfect teaching? Clear? Is it clear? Who would summarize it? Who would summarize it? Yeah, it's good. Start to hear the Lord. Hearing the Lord is everything. Hearing the Lord is everything. You got to know Him, hear Him, see Him. Who else? Right. Praise God. Because it had already been done in heaven, and you were just entering into that finished work. Amen. What a wonderful life to enter into His finished work. It's the only way to live. It's the only way to live. If something's been done in heaven, it's done on earth. But He wants to do it through you, with you. He doesn't want to do it apart from you. He wants to do it in and you and through you, with you. You know, and we're tired, like you say, and don't always see how serious it is. But enter into the finished work. I tell you, there's no greater world. You could conquer the whole world because it's already been done. It isn't hard to conquer the world. It's already been done. It isn't hard to have a happy marriage. It isn't hard to have a happy life. It isn't hard. It's already been done. Because you have to enter into it. Be not faithless, but believing. Hope you are blessed. So we're always happy all the time, right? So we're always happy all the time, right? Because it's done in heaven. Let's say you're unhappy down here. You're wrong. It doesn't agree with heaven.
That's right.
Heaven says rejoice always. Always. Well, I don't want to right now. Well, it doesn't matter what you want to. You're going to do it. Don't want to hear it. Rejoice. And when you do, good things happen. Prayer matters. That's why He said to do it. All right. He wants it. He doesn't even want to do deeds. He's not even into deeds. He's into performance. Not into doing anything. The doing just proves you are in relationship. It's the relationship that He's after. It's a relationship. No marriage will fail if you have a relationship. It fails if you're into performance. You can't marry somebody to perform. You didn't close the toothpaste tube right. It says nothing. Who cares? I'll tell you who does, me. When my wife doesn't close that thing, she's got it all gummed up, that's divorce right there. Hey, look at this gummed up thing here. You put this cap on like this. Look at the way I do it. See how you fold it from the bottom here? You know, and I've tried to teach her that from the time we were married. She still hasn't done it. And I'm surprised I'm still married to her. I mean, that is a... And then she won't turn out the lights. As she goes through a room, she'll leave them all on. I wake up in the middle of the night and the lights are all on. Who left these lights on? Well, I might have. What do you mean you might have? I turned them all out. You put all those on. Well, I didn't want to stumble. You have to leave the whole house on. So, but anyway, I decided to not divorce her. Because you don't divorce in heaven. It's not possible. So you have to rejoice. So, what a blessed wife I have. Gum up the toothpaste, sweetheart. Leave the lights on. Do y'all understand? Grow up. Get used to it. Let God direct your paths. Woohoo! You having a good time? Yeah. The best is yet to come. You're not there yet. It's okay. It's in the script. It takes time. First you're a little child, then you're a young man or woman, then you're a mature mother or father. It just takes time. God will get you there. It's already been done. So, God loves you. You don't have to be perfect. You're not perfect. You're never going to be perfect. He does that for you, in you, through you. To God be the glory. And when He says, well done, that's because He did it. It wasn't even you. You didn't even do it. And your testimony is not, I did that. Your testimony is, I don't know how they got done. That'd be Jesus. That's your testimony. I don't know how this happened. It was Jesus. That's your testimony. Not, I did that. I finally caught on. No, that's not your testimony. Your testimony is, Jesus did that. Thanks be to God. That's all he ever wanted. You all understand everything you have is a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. The best is yet to come. It's got the best saved to the last. You ready? It's coming. It's been written already. It's gonna go. We're not going to go out with a whimper. We're going out with glory. We're not going to go out, you know, it's kind of like, no, the bride hath made herself ready. But that was God's word. It's already written in the script.